Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the 1001 Films Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Gardner, and today's episode is going to be a review of the new Marvel film, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I just got back from the theater, and I'll just briefly say that this is the most fun I've had at the movies for a very long time. So I'm going to give you my thoughts right after this word from our sponsor. So a lot of the Marvel projects haven't really been working for me, like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, She-Hulk, Moon Knight. With the exception of Ms. Marvel, a lot of the new Marvel stuff hasn't really been hitting it for me, hasn't really been very up to par to what the Marvel standard is as far as excellence in filmmaking and entertaining films. That have kind of become the hallmark of these Marvel films is that they are big spectacles, but they're very entertaining, but they all have a story with heart. But a lot of the recent projects haven't really had a lot of that. But I think Guardians of the Galaxy 3 kind of gets back to what that, it's weird for me to say the old school Marvel, you know, style of filmmaking of a self-contained story with grand action set pieces and spectacle, but with a story that has stakes and has meaning. So I think Guardians of the Galaxy 3 kind of brings it back to that a little bit. And like I said in the intro, the overall feeling that I felt while watching this film was that it was just fun. It's a lot of fun. It's very entertaining. The music is excellent. The story structure just kind of draws you right in from the beginning. And I think it's the most fun and entertaining Marvel film that they've had in a long time, at least in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. But I think I felt that fun and that entertainment because it's counterbalanced with a lot of edge and a lot of darkness. And if you are a person who is sensitive to animal cruelty or anything like that, this movie is probably not for you because it explores a lot of the background of Rocket and how he kind of came to be who he is. You know, in the previous Guardians of the Galaxy films, he said that he doesn't want to talk about his past a lot because, you know, he's a raccoon, but he's walking and talking. He's highly intelligent, very mechanically inclined. So you kind of see how he went from like a normal, like Earth, like regular raccoon to be like this hyper intelligent, like super being almost. And a lot of that involves animal experimentation and mutilation and stuff like that. So if you're sensitive to animal cruelty and those kind of issues, you probably should not go see this film. And I was surprised at how dark it got and how scary some of those moments were, which I think just kind of let the humor in the film and the fun, like bright entertainment aspect of the film was kind of elevated by that backdrop of the darkness of Rocket's origin story. So I think that also everyone, you know, Drax, Groot, Peter, Rocket, everyone had their moment to shine. James Gunn is an excellent filmmaker when it comes to ensemble casts. He knows how to cast the right people in the right roles. He knows how to write their dialogue and how to develop their characters through his writing and his directing in order to give everyone the room to breathe and the space to shine. And he knows how to use his characters in a way that will show their specific character traits that endear them to the audience. And I just felt like everyone had at least one moment that kind of really amplified their positive characteristics so that the audience could like them. So I think it was an excellently written film, very, well casted. I mean, this cast has been together doing Guardians of the Galaxy movies since I think the first one came out in 2014. So almost 10 years that they've been working together on these films. So you can really feel that chemistry between them, and you can really feel like these actors are like, to put it in pro wrestling terms, like they're putting each other over. Like they're helping each other elevate each other's performances. So I think that was a very good aspect of the film that I really liked. But one of the essential problems that I have with Marvel films and really comic book films in general, and even comic books in general, is that a lot of times I feel like there are no stakes. I mean, even when they killed Superman in the comics, literally 6 months later, they brought him back to life. So when anyone dies in comic books or in comic book movies, even in Marvel movies, people rarely stay dead. So if you know that going in, you don't really have the sense of urgency or the sense of stakes or the sense of danger for the characters, because you know the good guy always wins in the end. But with this film, since James Gunn has said, he's the new head, new the new creative head of DC Studios over at Warner Brothers, so he's not going to be working with Marvel anymore. And that this is his last Guardians of the Galaxy film, his last Marvel movie for now. We'll see, in the future, you never know. But since because he's been saying that this kind of concludes his Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy, and that since Dave Bautista has said that he's not going to come back and play Drax anymore, and the whole origin story with Rocket and just the way the trailers were presented and cut, you kind of, I at least kind of went in thinking that, oh, some of these characters might die, because this is the end of the trilogy essentially. So that kind of heightened my sense of the stakes, and there were some moments where I really felt the stakes. I really felt like these characters were in danger. And I really felt that they were not, that all of them were not going to make it. Now, that might just be a clever marketing ploy by Marvel or by James Gunn to kind of heighten the audience's experience with the film, or to kind of counterbalance that fact that kind of like a reverse psychology thing where you put something into the audience's head and you know that that's going to be in their head when they go into the movie. So that heightens their experience with the film, and it makes the film better, even though it's not necessarily anything to do with filmmaking. But whatever it was, it worked on me because I enjoyed the film more because I really felt like these characters were in danger. I really felt like not all of them were gonna survive. And it made those stakes and those moments more emotional for me, and more like a sense of I didn't know what was coming next, or I didn't know how things were going to turn out. So I think that is another aspect of the film that I really liked, and that I think more Marvel movies should do, and more Marvel movies and comic book movies in general shouldn't be afraid to do. They've constructed this vast universe of films that are, and television shows that are all interwoven and interconnected. And you kind of get the sense like, oh, they're not gonna kill this person because like that actor that's playing this character has signed like a 7-film deal, and this is only the second film that they've been in. So I know that they're coming back, so the emotional stakes of a movie of them like maybe possibly dying, it's not really felt as much, but I definitely felt them in this film, which kind of leads me into my next point, is that this is a very satisfying, all three of these films have been very satisfying because they're not very interconnected with any of the other Marvel films. I feel like a lot of times, especially recently, and especially with Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, I feel like you have to do homework to go into these Marvel films. You have to have seen this movie from 8 years ago and that TV show from 2 years ago. And, to kind of understand what's going on, you kind of have to have seen everything. And I don't want to go into a movie feeling like I have to do homework. I don't want to go into a movie feeling like I have to watch two D TV shows and 15 movies to even understand the plot. Each individual movie, whether it's part of a vast universe or whether it's part of a series, it should feel like its own self-contained story. Stanley is famous for saying that every comic book is someone's first comic book. So every comic book should have a self-contained story. The same goes for films, especially for Marvel films. I feel like they did this better earlier in, the late 2000s, early 2010s, where they were making films that were self-contained stories that didn't necessarily, that were interconnected, but you didn't necessarily have to do homework to understand what was going on. And I feel like this film is a very satisfying, self-contained story that didn't require any of that, that didn't require any previous viewing. I never even finished the second Guardians of the Galaxy, and I haven't even seen the holiday special that they put on Disney Plus last year, around last Christmas time or the year before, or whenever it came out. And I didn't feel lost at all, because I knew the characters, I knew their motivations, and they made it very easy for me to catch up on things that I might have missed in the beginning of the film, to where I wasn't completely lost and I didn't understand why the characters were doing what they were doing, or why this person was here and why that person wasn't, and why this person could remember things and that person couldn't. I just felt like I wasn't lost. I wasn't like floating out at sea, not really understanding what was going on. You could jump into this movie without having seen any of the other Marvel films, and you can enjoy it for what it is. Because it's like I said, it's a self-contained story, and I wish more comic book movies, and more, more of the Marvel movies would kind of lean into that, lean into the specificity of their characters instead of just thinking about what they have to set up for the next 10 years of, of movies. And the last point I want to make is that there is a hallway scene in this film, and when you see it, you'll know exactly which one I'm talking about. That is done in one take. Well, not one take, but it's done in one shot. It's presented as one shot, like without cuts. And it is one of the most entertaining, most incredible one shot scenes I have ever seen. I wouldn't put it up there with like going into the Copacabana and Goodfellas or the opening of The Touch of Evil. But I would say, I mean, I'd have to do research to verify this, but just off the top of my head, of all the one shots and all the long one take shots in movie history, I feel like this one is one of the most, if not the most entertaining and the most fun and action packed and just incredible one take shots I've ever seen, and it deserves to be praised. And I think it might be an homage to like The Raid or Old Boy, and the one shot hallway scenes in those films, especially Old Boy. There's like a 7, 8, 9 minute one shot hallway fight scene that this one kind of reminded me of. I just really enjoyed that scene in the film, and it just blows my mind that with all the visual effects and all of the actors, I just wonder how long it took them to shoot, that 5 minute scene or 7 minute scene or however long it was in this hallway and make it look like it was done in one take. It was just incredible. And the music, oh my gosh, that scene has the Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, and it fits perfectly with the vibe of this film. It fits perfectly with the feeling of that scene and the chaoticness and just all the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtracks have been very entertaining, just plucking songs from pop culture and putting it in the perfect spot in the story to kind of let you feel the emotion of the story. And that hallway scene with Beastie Boys' No Sleep Till Brooklyn was a perfect fit. So definitely go see it. It came out in theaters this weekend. It's one of the best Marvel movies in recent memory. It's very entertaining. You guys won't be disappointed. So thank you guys so much for listening. And don't forget to check me out on my blog. I dropped the WordPress. I'm caged and I paid the $48 for the year or whatever to own the domain 1001filmblog.com. No .wordpress.com anymore. It's just 1001filmblog.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check me out on my blog and on Twitter at SMG Reviews and back here for new episodes. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will catch you next time.